Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Yusuf Halwa. He is the CEO of Nerve Technologies. Hi, Yusuf. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. Alhamdulillah, everything is going well. Salman, it's very nice to speak to you. Excited to have this conversation and talk about our work.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely excited to have you on the show. And I want to talk to you more about your innovation and your background. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Sure. So I have an educational background in nanotechnology engineering. And I pursued both an undergrad degree in the field and a master's degree in the field. For my master's thesis, actually, I specialized in a very niche field under the umbrella of implantable medical devices, which allowed us to establish the technical framework for what would then evolve to be Nerve. I've been working on the company since I was in school. And since my graduation, the company has taken off, and we've been at it since 2014.
All right. So can you talk more about Nerve Technologies, what it is, how the idea came about, and what products and solutions you offer?
Sure. So Nerve offers post-operative monitoring solutions that allow us to monitor patient recovery after surgery. The whole premise around our product and our mission revolves around this very concerning period following every surgery. There's always a concern that the complication may develop. And you typically, when complications do develop, you go through this period where you start investigating and examining the cause behind some of the symptoms that appear. You would then do a number of diagnostic tests, you arrive at a diagnosis, and then you begin treatment. And the longer you stay in this time frame where you're still trying to discover what's wrong, the bigger the risk it is for the patient health and the more complications you have to deal with eventually. So we proceeded to develop a continuous monitoring solution that could be seamlessly attached following surgery, that integrates with the standard of care, that enables healthcare professionals to identify complications as soon as they develop in the earliest way possible. The closest analogy outside the field of medicine is your fire alarm. So if you consider a person's body to be a house, the way we're treating fires that may happen in a house is a phone call from your neighbor after they see smoke coming out of the window. You would much rather have a fire alarm that could pick up on a fire as soon as it develops to allow you to handle a small oven top kitchen fire than a full on burning household. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of surgery, which specific surgeries do you focus on? And if you can talk more about the device as well, is it something that connects to the patient's body? How does it work?
Yeah, so the device itself attaches outside of the body and it hooks up to catheters or drainage systems that could be deployed during surgery. The device itself is not implantable. It just fits in line with those catheters or tubes. So it usually would sit in between the catheter itself and the reservoir where fluid collection happens. And typically we used to consider these fluids to be wastage fluids. But utilizing our system and using the number of sensors that we deploy, you're able to get a lot more clinical insights into the patient recovery using our system. In terms of our area of focus, so the primary area of operation where we're focused is on surgeries done on in the abdominal cavity, specifically GI-related surgery. So you have your colorectal, fatobiliary, bariatric, esophageal. All of these surgeries fit within the mold that we're primarily focused on. And all of these surgeries as well are susceptible to the complications that we're looking at in one form or another. In terms of the problem space itself, the primary complication that we're looking at is a complication known as anastomotic leaks. In layman's terms, that just means fluid leaking into the body when it's not supposed to be there. So you can have your things like fecal matter or gastric fluid or bile are all examples of fluids that are not supposed to exist within your abdomen. And that's the primary complication we're going after at first.
Mm-hmm. So is your product fully ready or is it currently under development?
Our product is in its clinical studies phase. So we've completed our early feasibility study. We're currently in our traditional feasibility. And we're working towards getting our device fully regulated to be ready for commercial activity Q4 of this year.
Mm-hmm. And so by the last quarter of this year, you will have it available in the market, or is that further down the line?
No, once the device is regulated, you're ready to start engaging in commercial activities. So the device is ready to sell at this point. It's mm-hmm. It's then the full on sales cycle that click in.
Mm-hmm. And where will you manufacture this product? Will it be made in Canada?
Yeah, so Nerve owns the full manufacturing process. We've developed our own assembly and manufacturing process that we conduct in-house. So we have our own facility at the Medical Innovation Exchange here in Kitchener, in Waterloo, that allow us to manufacture devices and push them out. So it's something that we're proud of. We're a full-on Canadian manufactured and made product. And we distribute from our center over here as well.
Mm-hmm. So recently, you had a fundraising round about 3.32 million Canadian. So can you talk more about your fundraising round, what it was like, how long did it take?
Yeah, so it's been a journey during the fundraising process. I mean, we were fundraising in the middle of COVID. We hit our first fundraising milestone close to March or April of 2020. And that's when COVID hit in on full force. So we had some of our investors had to re-diverge capital to focus on their existing portfolio, especially with the market being heavily hit and a lot of startups being impacted and unfortunately also a lot of them had to fold during this period. We've carried along after that. And around Q3, end of Q3, beginning of Q4 of 2020, all funds were committed, everything was done. And then the announcement came just this month. So it was a fantastic journey, lasted about a year, in which COVID had a massive impact on our activity. And then as things restarted, we managed to close it out.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of valuation, can you disclose the valuation at which you raised, and were you able to get the valuation that you wanted?
Yeah, so I won't be disclosing the valuation, but I could tell you that it's something that we believe is fair. It's something that allow our investors to grow with us, and it's something that that we were happy about over the past while.
Mm-hmm. Did you find the due diligence process to be particularly difficult? Were there any specific information that the investors were looking for to determine viability?
Not necessarily difficult, no. People who, investors who engaged in due diligence with us, typically almost all of them invested. So we didn't have a lot of difficulty there once people begin the DD process. Given that, the questions and most of the focus lies in things like workflow, for example. So how do you impact the device usability, or things related to some of our findings from our clinical studies, especially that these things are in-house. So these are the primary things that people ask about during our DD. Overall, I'd say it was a very smooth process with our investors, and something that they found exciting, and you know, we've worked hard to make sure that we clear up as many questions as possible, and ultimately, I think we also found very solid strategic partners. That understand our field, they understand our direction. It was a good fit, certainly.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any direct competitors, or is this first and unique product of its kind?
No, it's very much disruptive. It's new to the medical field overall. It's not something that's been deployed, and there is no existing competition in the field. Given that, as with all medical devices, you're competing against the typical standard of care. So we look at what's being done in hospitals today, and that's your competition always. So unfortunately, the current standard of care processes is very inefficient, and it comes at the cost of patients' health. It comes at a great cost to hospital facilities and healthcare providers, which is the opportunity that presented itself to Nerve that we're looking to leverage and solve over the coming period.
Mm-hmm. So who will you be selling your product to? Will you be selling to the doctors, to the hospitals, or directly to the patients?
No, you sell to the healthcare provider. It's a B2B business model.
So it will be the hospitals?
Yeah, your healthcare providers, yeah. Mm-hmm. And doctors, of course, yeah.
Doctors and the healthcare providers. So you're based out of Waterloo. How's the innovation ecosystem in Waterloo, and how did you find the business and entrepreneurship community in Waterloo? Were you able to get the support that you need?
The innovation ecosystem here is truly amazing. It's one of a kind, and it developed really quickly, and it covers all areas of innovation. I'm sure throughout your podcast, you've had the opportunity to speak to a number of people around the Waterloo Corridor, with a number of companies coming out of Velocity, Communitech, the Accelerator Center, Catalyst, the Conrad Center. And I'm sure I've missed a few as well. All of these innovation incubators and accelerators enabled this community to grow. And then all of these are also being fueled by one of the top engineering and top innovative schools in Canada, the University of Waterloo. You mix these ingredients together and you suddenly have a recipe for success. And that allowed the innovation system over here to thrive. We've had fantastic companies come out of here that grew and achieved success. The medical innovation ecosystem has been picking up traction over the past while. We have giants like IntelliJoint and recently GAA Imaging as well growing into that field. And then you have a whole bunch of medical innovation companies that are growing over the past while. You have people from all sorts of areas around medical technology and medical devices. And that led up to a few things. I know the city itself is building up a space for future medical device companies that's supposed to be established 2025. Recently as well, I believe it was the beginning of last year, the Medical Innovation Exchange facility was established, allowing medical companies to have a common place to work. And I believe the Waterloo MedTech ecosystem incorporates over 100 different companies across different fields and different spaces. So it's been growing at an incredible rate, incredible rate. I don't think anywhere else out there has that level of growth that the Waterloo ecosystem has been seeing over the past while. The university itself even introduced a new biomedical engineering program very recently. That's like less than 10 years old. So it's only expected to grow as more and more people get integrated into the ecosystem. And we hope as well it has sort of a butterfly effect. So hopefully engineers who work in the field would allow the university as well to see and seek partnerships or perhaps establishing a medical school to allow for that collaborative research and collaborative work to grow. Communitech has certainly responded, establishing a full medical division of very strong advisors. It's just been growing.
So recently, you know, we have been hit by a big challenging economic times because of the pandemic. Did you experience any growth or decline in your business?
Yeah, I mean, we work in the medical field and with a lot of the elective surgeries being put on hold, that had a big impact on our stage. I mean, we're a clinical studies company. We're in our clinical studies phase, I'm sorry. So we're very much dependent on the enrollment of patients to help us move along and develop our technology and deliver it to the healthcare system. If surgeries are being put on hold, that had an impact on us. Thankfully, things are still going at a reasonable rate. So it certainly had an impact, but not as devastating as we saw with other companies. So we've been very, very blessed in that regard. And we hope we could carry on with at our rate at the moment and with our innovation.
That's great. Can you share a fun fact about yourself?
I love soccer, both as a fan and as a player. I'm always open to the opportunity to get on the field, to pass the ball around and just have fun. Support a local team in Egypt called Al Ahli. It has a massive fan base, but within Egypt and some neighboring countries. Always happy to get the ball rolling.
So do you still play soccer?
I do. It's up until things shut down, I was playing regularly. Hopefully once things reopen again, I'll be back on the field as well.
All right, that's great. That's great. Well, Yusuf, it has been nice speaking with you and learning about yourself and your background and your venture and your product and the innovation that you're bringing about. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You want to share your website? How can people find you?
Yeah, I mean, people could go to nervtech.com. It's NERV technology.com. They could find information about the website, or they could go to ne-rv.com as well to get more information about the website. People also could reach me on my LinkedIn, Yusuf Halwan. They could send me an email they could send me a message. They're interested in connecting with me as well.
All right, perfect. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you get a chance to learn from Yusuf about his story, about his innovation, about his cool product. And as Yusuf mentioned, you can visit the website and learn more. And thank you so much for listening to Zonecast, and stay tuned for more episodes.